Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
If you are used to listening to us on Point of View on a Thursday, you know that that is your message to get your, I guess, cowboy boots or some sort of dancing boots on, because it's time for our music segment this evening with Dr. Sheldon Rocha-Leal. Thank you so much for joining us, musicologist extraordinaire. And we are kicking off the edition this week, which is a Grammys edition. The Grammys are coming up very soon.
Yeah.
And we are going to be talking a little bit about this country music extravaganza, I suppose, that's been happening over the past year or so, and that should find its way into the Grammys, or at least hopefully Beyonce with Texas Hold'em might be able to.
Yeah, so that I'm, you know, coming up with because like we do a Grammy thing every year, mm-hmm. and like what is the angle, you know? And this year the angle seems to be country music, like everybody's doing it. And it all started actually with a few years ago with Lil Nas X.
Correct.
Last year, Beyonce decided that she was going to do a country album, and it's part of a trilogy. So yes. She did Renaissance, and now it's this Cowboy Carter, and yes. we await what the third one will be.
Yes.
I think it's a cool song. And actually, a few years ago, I listened to this album called Country and Blues,
mm-hmm.
and in the write up of the, so the whole thing was, the album was a duet album with like famous country musicians and famous blues artists,
right.
like B.B. King and Dolly Parton doing
right.
a duet together. And in the write up for the album, it said, you know, country and blues are actually two sides of the same coin.
They are.
The motivation for the genres are the same. It's the same kind of community, like a downtrodden community,
yes.
where they're talking about the strife or their strife or like what they've gone through. It's very much about a reflection on society at that specific time in history. And both genres, although the one's more white orientated and yes. the other one's more black orientated, it's actually the same message.
Correct.
And the interesting thing is, like, I speak to a lot of my students and people like that, and my students are predominantly black.
Yes.
And they talk about how their mothers were a big Dolly Parton
Huge.
Fan, or like their mothers were a
Rogers.
Big Kenny Rogers fan.
Yes.
And I'm like, what? That's so weird, because like it's not a genre that you would easily associate with black people, because it's a white genre. But people are attracted to it.
100%. And to your point about the same kind of people, it's not, maybe, yes, downtrodden, because often the blues is about sadness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somebody broke my heart,
yeah.
you know, down on my luck,
yep.
Johnny Cash, all
yeah,
of
yeah.
that, and southern roots.
Yeah, yeah.
And often very working class,
mm-hmm.
and just like the everyman's
yes.
strife.
Yeah, yeah. Not, blue collar music.
That's right. It's
yeah.
not, it's not, you know, I cut the roof off my Maybach. It's
yeah,
not
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It's not that. So it is about like normal, you know, run of the mill, down to earth people, and
yes.
that's what both are, you know, they're roots music.
Correct.
And so, yeah.
I think that makes it quite exciting that we kicked off with Texas Hold'em. Whatever her personal motivations, you know, Beyonce certainly is a student of music,
yeah.
And certainly likes to demonstrate to us her A plus
yeah, yeah,
research.
Yeah.
And Cowboy Carter was almost this, this not taking back, but yeah, taking back a little bit of ownership, kind of like what happened with rock and roll.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Starts out in the black culture and ends up on Elvis, and
yeah,
it's
yeah,
easier
yeah.
to sell. And Cowboy Carter seems to take a great deal of work to, great deal of effort to expose the gospel influence, the blues, and the R&B.
Which I think is brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I'm not a big Beyonce fan in general. I think it's, the brand is a little bit like, on the side of desperation.
Yes, it is.
I'm not a big fan of that. I just think it's too try hard. It's too contrived.
Sure.
I mean, like the one year she appeared at the Grammys with a crown, and she was pregnant with
yes.
a gold gown, and she did the performance. I'm like, geez, it's like, what is going on here? Like, it seems to be an enhancement of things that other people have done. And that's the thing for me.
Yeah.
Although it cannot be denied that she is the greatest of all time when it comes to the Grammy Awards. She's got more Grammys than anybody else
sure.
in history. And she's nominated for 11 Grammy Awards this year,
that's
which
right.
is the second highest number of Grammys to be nominated in one night. The record is held by Michael Jackson
sure.
and Babyface, who had 12 nominations each on one night, and she's got 11 nominations. So, and she's tied with Jean-Baptiste and Kendrick Lamar for the second greatest largest number of nominations in one night. So it cannot be denied that you know, she's the greatest of all time when it comes to the Grammy Awards. But we also know that in order to win a Grammy Award, you will campaign for that. You will campaign very hard for a Grammy Award. And obviously she knows what the art of doing that is.
She does, but there is one that has eluded her that she has wanted her whole career.
Exactly.
And it's Album of the Year. And it seems as though, I can't tell if her team and Taylor Swift's team are just gonna screw it, mess it up for her. But to your point about campaigning, I have found, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about the Grammy process in general. I don't think she was hard done by every single time, except on Lemonade.
Okay.
And Adele said the same.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me that sometimes when you see interviews either in Rolling Stone and the like by Grammy voters, they say, I just didn't want to give it to her. I'm so sick of her always winning.
Mm.
So it's not actually a fair fight in many respects. Is that something that's true to how you understand it to work?
Well, I mean, I think, look, I mean, there are tens of thousands of Grammy voters. I mean, the pool is huge for the Grammy vote. I think as a musician, as a legitimate musician, because the people who are voting are legitimate musicians. They are people in the industry. They're people who have been nominated for Grammy Awards. They're people who have won Grammy Awards. Mm-hmm. They know what the process is. They know, what the sophistication of creating music.
Yes.
They understand it. It feels almost like, I don't know if you ever watch the Oscars, and the Oscars usually go to some highly intellectualized movie.
Yes.
It's like the most amazing, and they did it in black and white, and et cetera, et cetera. And that's what the Beyoncé campaign seems to be. Like, I've created this album because I want it to be Album of the Year.
I hear you.
And I just think it's like, it doesn't come across sincere, and I think the Grammy voters are like,
Not to waylay our topic, do you think Taylor comes across as sincere? Because I don't think I think she's contrived too.
Yeah, she is. But I mean, she is an original brand. Like, if you look at Taylor Swift, she's not a derivation of something else. She is Taylor Swift.
Sure.
It is what it is. I'm not a big fan of Taylor Swift either, because I think her music is just vanilla. It's
Agreed.
Just like very vanilla.
I blame Kanye for what we're having to go through. I do. I think he made her famous. But carry on, sorry.
Yeah, so for me, the Taylor story is a very vanilla one. It's like, I understand that the youth are going to buy into this. Mm. But for me, it's just like the epitome of vanilla. I think it's amazing what she's done. I think it's amazing how powerful she's become in the music industry.
Yes.
But I don't think we're going to remember I don't even think we remember her music now, to be honest with you. I think there's like a core of fans that are super dedicated to her, but I don't think the music's very memorable.
Let's talk about what is memorable into our next song by Shaboozey.
Yes.
Now, this is something that I think is really appropriate. On the one hand, Shaboozey's been around for quite a while.
Very long time.
And many of the likes of Tanner Adele and other country artists who... Well, Beyoncé will say she showcased. Others will say she rode into the rodeo. I don't know how you want to look at it, but she showcased and kind of uplifted their visibility. I think Shaboozey kind of achieved that with this song, even before A Cowboy Carter needed to uplift him.
Actually, Beyoncé had heard this song, and she was like, will you be on my album?
That's right.
So actually, he was, before her. I wouldn't say he's the initiator.
Yes.
But he was before her. And actually, there have been various artists that have won Grammy Awards who are black in the country category.
That's right.
So like Darius Rucker is one of them. Charlie Pride is another. The Pointer Sisters won a Grammy Award in the country category.
So
she's not an initiator.
Yeah. And I think that's quite important just for the sake of history. And we remember that.
Yeah. Let's have a listen to
a bar song, Tipsy by Shaboozey. Love this one at the gym.
Rhythm and beats. On Point of View.
9:36, that last track is the one that you're still hearing is Lil Nas X featuring Billy Ray Cyrus, Old Town Road. You heard Dr. Sheldon Rocha-Leal, who has been with us this evening on our music feature, the Grammys edition, telling us a little earlier about how that was sort of the beginning of bringing country into the pop music mainstream, was really Old Town Road. And indeed, great to see Lil Nas X almost immediately paying homage to Billy Ray Cyrus. What was that story, by the way? Billy Ray helped him to get on the charts because they wouldn't play him on the country charts.
Yeah, but you know, the Lil Nas X thing, I mean, oh, I think Lil Nas X is a difficult sell. Okay. Because, I mean, as a hip hop, a rapper who's gay, who's doing country music, it's like, it's not a conventional thing.
Correct.
That's what I actually like about Lil Nas X, is that he's just doing his own thing.
That's it.
He doesn't really care what people have to say. But the Billy Ray Cyrus connection, actually, he had heard Billy Ray Cyrus and he was like, actually, I want this guy on my recording. Oh. And so they approached Billy Ray and Billy Ray was like, this is a cool track. I'll sing on it. Did you see Billy Ray Cyrus last week?
At the U.S. presidential inauguration.
Goodness. I was like, what the heck is going on here?
In Tyler voice. What the heck?
What the heck?
I mean, honestly, I was watching it and I only saw a little clip on social media and I was like, is this man okay?
He's serious.
And he was like, y'all clap if you want me to stay. Or if you want me to just get the hell out of here, I can leave. And they were like, if you like.
I watched 12 minutes of it and it was like crickets.
12?
12 minutes of it. I was like, what the heck is. Like, is he drunk? Like, is he losing his mind?
No, he's not okay.
I mean, it was just a mess. And also, why do that song, that Lil Nas Old Town Road song, at the convention, because he's only a featuring role. So how do you get the thing to do like just like the ad libs in the song and that's your performance?
Because the alternative is Achy Breaky Heart. What Billy Ray Cyrus song do you know?
Which he does reference in
Little Nas X's in Old Town Road.
But this song actually is very the Lil Nas X Old Town Road. That was like the for me a moment in music history which sort of reflects like the Elvis Presley moment. So 1955, Elvis Presley, and I just watched a documentary about it which is so interesting, but Elvis Presley amongst black musicians was not considered a white musician. He was considered a black musician.
He was raised in the church.
He was raised in the Baptist church. He got all his ideas straight out of the Baptist 100%. Church. And so when he performed as a black musician, although he was a white musician.
It's like white drag queens on RuPaul.
Exactly.
It all comes from a black auntie at the end of the day. All of the reeds, all of the neck snapping.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
And so this moment in history was like the reverse of that. It was like, let's take country music and add rap to it and we're going to reverse the formula, which was brilliant. And people didn't understand the Lil Nas X song, so when it went in for nominations for the Grammy Awards, he initially went in for country, but they were like, this is not a country song, sorry. And that's the big thing with the country fraternity, they are super purists. So if you do not fit the mold, you are not going to cut it.
And I think that's why they were not playing him on country stations.
Yes.
Similar story to Texas Hold'em.
Yes.
But now, sorry to interrupt, but I thought that was when he then got Billy Ray on a remix.
Yeah, yeah. And then this was the remix. So the original song wasn't getting traction. And then when he got Billy Ray on, all of a sudden, number one record. And when they went in for the Grammys, they were like, actually, this is not a country song. Sure. This is actually a pop song. And it got nominated for Best Pop Collaboration Performance. Oh. And it won the Grammy for Best Pop. But it actually is a country song.
Yes.
And I mean, very, very definitely a country song, but they didn't get it.
Yes.
And actually in 1974 or so, that or 76, Olivia Newton-John did a country album, and at the CMAs, the Country Music Awards, they blocked her. They booed her off the stage because they're like, girl, you're not a country musician.
Not the girl from Greece.
You're from Australia.
Yeah, oh, right. this kind of gatekeeping is the thing that's quite frustrating, and for all of our not necessarily praising, like putting Beyonce on a pedestal, I think I think she's the best performer of our lifetimes.
Yeah.
Performer. But I think it's important what she did then with Cowboy Carter. I think it's important what happened here with Lil Nas X, because historically, and you would know this better than I, you know, the black cowboys actually used to refer to black men on horses.
Exactly.
Like, I think white guys were called cowhands.
Yeah.
And the rodeos and everything in the South.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
And that was the whole Beyonce thing. She was like, I'm going to bring it back.
I'm
from Texas. I'm reappropriating this.
That's it.
I'm taking it back. And it's cool. I love it. I love the revolutionary element of it. I think it's great. So that Lil Nas X song was number one in the United States for 19 weeks, that's which incredible. Is the longest run at number one in American history.
Wow.
No other song has ever spent longer at number one than Lil Nas X and Billy Ray Cyrus with Old Town Road. But then last year,
yes,
with my dear friend Shabuzi,
which you heard earlier, yeah, yes,
he spent 19 weeks at number one. That's so really they now cool. tied the record for the longest stay at number one for a song in history. And both country rap songs,
yes.
which is so interesting. And obviously, country is such a big thing in the United States. So that's the
crossover
traction.
Appeal, exactly.
So there's a song that's now sort of creeping up, which is the second longest running song in history. So the original record for the longest running song at number one in music history in the United States was Boyz II Men and Mariah Carey's One Sweet Day.
Really?
It spent 16 weeks at number one. It was the longest running number one until 2019.
I know, that was me.
That was me.
Yeah, I mean, I think my mom died that year, and I was like, "What's happening?" Anyway, carry on.
So now there's a song that's creeping up. So Mariah Carey's "All I Want for Christmas Is You"
right.
spent another 3 weeks at number one in the United States this past Christmas,
wow.
taking her tally to 18 weeks.
Okay, but doesn't it have to be consecutive?
No.
Well, it doesn't.
No, I mean, they will have the record for. Well, I don't
think. Because it's going to happen every Christmas.
Yeah, that girl's going to take the record next year.
This year.
She's going to take the record.
She is.
So
she's at 18 now.
She's at 18.
Oh, yeah, it's going to happen.
So if she stays another 3 weeks at number one in December, she'll take the record.
Oh, shame.
But it won't be consecutive, but I don't think Shabuzi's stay at number one was also consecutive.
Gotcha. Okay.
I think he went off and then came back on again. But Shabuzi, he's nominated for Best New Artist, Best Country Song,
aww.
And Best Country Solo Performance. The interesting thing is that Shabuzi's been around for quite some time now.
That's right.
So how is he nominated for Best New Artist? So the big thing with Best New Artist is it needs to be your year of like you shining that
That's
year.
Right.
It's like your year, that was your year. So even though you may have released some albums before, they could have been independent albums that people weren't really listening to, but this was the big year that you shone. So that will then be your Best New Artist.
Isn't that
nomination.
Similar to Victoria Monet? Didn't she win it last year?
Victoria Monet.
I think.
Yeah, yeah. She'd been around for quite some time.
As she said, a 10-year overnight success.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll continue with a little bit of this, with this and a lot more. We were talking about Billy Ray Cyrus. We'll soon be hearing from his daughter, Miley Cyrus. I still can't get over the fact that was her first.
I know.
We'll talk about it just now. Miley Cyrus and Flowers, the song that won her first, and I believe at this point, only Grammy. Hey, Doc?
Yeah. And that was the amazing thing about Miley. What I've always loved about Miley
yes.
is that she's a bit of a rebel.
Mm,
she's like the female James Dean for me.
Mm.
For her, it would have been easy for her to just transition from Hannah Montana into like a pop Nirvana, because
right.
she had everything at her disposal.
Yeah.
She could have easily just become like a pop queen. She could have been the Britney Spears.
That's right.
Because it was around about the same time.
Yeah.
She could have followed that
songwriters
path.
In Sweden that give her the 3.5 minute to, you know, three verses and a bridge.
Exactly.
The usual, yeah.
And for me, it was like, no, I mean, people were looking at her and going, what are you doing?
Yes.
You've got this whole thing's plotted out for you. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't want to be Hannah Montana without the wig.
That's it.
Like, I want to be my own person. And she completely deconstructed the image that was
Correct.
Hannah Montana and reconstructed herself in her own new image.
And does so almost every season. Not as
exactly.
not as extremely as, say, Gaga does.
Yeah.
But she always gets to, you know, now it's the high hair
yes.
or, you know, a little bit of rap at some point.
And her performance at the Grammy Awards when she won for Flowers
yes.
was, when she said, I just won my first Grammy, I cried, because I was like, this is someone who's like been honing her craft.
That's right.
She's like invested so much time and energy to make this a brilliant brand and a brilliant product. And people didn't see it.
They didn't. And and she's a musician. I mean,
exactly.
her musicality is incredible, but I also don't think enough people give her voice credit.
Exactly.
When you hear
Mark
Ronson's Nothing Breaks Like a Heart,
yeah.
I could listen to that. Yo, this world is... Anyway, just go look it up.
Yeah.
I mean, Miley's got a voice.
She's got a phenomenal
look
voice.
Taylor... Anyway, yeah.
I mean, much better than her dad.
Definitely.
And just like she's honest, and she was honest on that stage. I mean, for her to say, "I just got my first Grammy," and like spinning around like that, and then the dress that she was wearing,
which was a
Mackie dress.
Yes,
Bob Mackie dress that Tina Turner had worn. Yes. So it was an homage to Tina Turner on the stage. Yes. I was like blown away,
and her hair,
and also the levels of the song. This specific song is brilliant because it's about her breakup with Hemsworth.
Yes.
And it talks about the house that burned down in Malibu and look what just happened in Los Angeles.
Ish.
And the song was released on Hemsworth's birthday.
That's right.
And basically what I love about this song is that she's saying, I don't need you.
Yeah, it's a self-redemptive song.
I don't need anyone. Yeah. I can do this on my own. Like, I don't need people to validate me.
And I'm Miley Blimming Cyrus.
Exactly.
Actually, it's almost like she woke up and she was like, I'm Miley Cyrus.
Damn
it. 25 years in the game.
And I think to myself, like, this is where a lot of us should be. You know, I think we're very apologetic about who we are, what we've achieved, where we're going to. And we're always like, oh, no, we don't want to overhype ourselves. And she says in the song, Guy, I've got my own money. I've got my own things. I can do my own. I can take myself to the movie.
100%.
I don't need anyone to like validate me. Like own who you are and do your thing. And for me, that's the brilliance of the song. I also love the fact that it's an answer to the Bruno Mars song.
Yes.
Because
When I Was Your Man.
When
yes.
I Was Your Man. So it's an answer to that song. She basically has taken the Bruno Mars song and just answered Bruno Mars, because she does he talks about exactly the same things. I will give you flowers, and she's like, I can buy my own flowers, and she talks about exactly, she's answering the Bruno Mars song. Why? Because that was the song that Hemsworth dedicated to her,
right? It's layered.
So she was like, I don't need your damn song. I don't need your flowers. I don't need your nothing. I can do this on my own.
That's
what I love about it. It's an empowering song.
Yes.
And I think it's a song that a lot of us should actually live up to. It's like we should own our stuff.
Agreed.
Takes us to our next song.
Yes. Before we head there, I just want to say a word that isn't often used to describe Miley Cyrus. And I think really does apply. I find her extraordinarily soulful.
She is soulful.
She is so soulful. I don't often get that with white women pop stars, but she really is.
But that's the whole theme of today's show, which is this country theme.
Exactly.
Because she is a country singer.
That's
but
right.
But country is so immersed and marinated in the blues.
That's right.
That you're going to get that soulful. Like if you listen to a dog, that's why it's such an easy transition for black musicians and black people to enjoy country music, because it is soul. Dolly Parton is soul.
That's right.
Whitney Houston could identify something in I Will Always Love You because there's
it's
soul
soulful.
In there.
All right. So now we're going to... we only have time for one more of some. We're supposed to play you two more, but we only have time for one more. Which do you think we should end off with? Do you want to go with Bruno?
Maybe let's end with the Angelique Kidjo song.
Talk to me about how we contextualize it in here, and I'm excited because it's going to take us away with the sweet gospel choir.
Yes.
I don't know why I do that. I'm sorry. When I talk about it.
We're cutting, yeah. So
we're going to go to Angelique Kidjo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't. Oh, we're doing the Lady Gaga song. All right. So we're going to go with Lady Gaga. What I love about these two guys, Bruno Mars and Lady Gaga, are probably the widest collaborators. They've collaborated across the board with so many people.
Have you seen her in this latest video with Sexy Red? I can't say what the name of the song is.
Apparently that song is very controversial. I haven't heard it.
She's just in the video. Like.
But so is Bruno Mars's new song, also very controversial.
Right. Okay.
But this collaboration is just... it's worth $1 million. It's just the most beautiful, like 1950s revival. The two voices together, these two iconic musicians, they're both brilliant. I think he's won something like, she's won 13 Grammy Awards. He's won 15 Grammy Awards. They nominated this year. And just that this collaboration is just, it's priceless.
I also think, I know we spent the show talking about the things that we like, don't like, or, you know, I think that they are two of the artists of our current era that inspire the least fan war.
Yeah.
Like there's a consensus that they are their greatest in their space. Like Lady Gaga's amazing, we get it. Bruno Mars is amazing. There's no one trying to take down the Hive or take down the I think that's really great.
And also they're super highly creative.
Like, correct.
Lady Gaga's a brilliant actress, but she's also a brilliant musician. She's also a good dancer. She's just a triple threat.
Oh, he's
and
a
Bruno
great
Mars
too.
Mars phenomenal musician, brilliant producer, excellent songwriter,
brilliant dancer,
phenomenal performer.
Yes.
And the two of them on this song just brings tears to my eyes. It's so beautiful.
Die with a smile, even with those tears in our eyes. Bruno Mars and Lady Gaga. Have a listen.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.